last summer we had very wonderful fellowship together, as you mentioned. Actually, I don't need to say anything more of the words of introduction. I'm supported by a European Missionary Fellowship, and the headquarters is in Vernon Village, close to London. And I'd like to tell you a little bit more about ministry of my ministry, and also ministry of our church back in Ukraine, back in Ternopil. But I have to be honest that this presentation is quite different from what I normally would do. Part of the presentation is very much connected to political things. And it's obviously because, as you all know, Ukraine is experiencing quite difficult time in the moment. And I don't know anyone in Ukraine who could stay apart from things which are happening right now. But also, I like to give you some updates from Christian perspective, how Christians see the things which are happening and how they are involved in all this. I have to say that till now we had some kind of we were thinking about things like civil protests or revolution or involvement of Christians in the any acts of civil protest theoretically. But now as things change in Ukraine, we found that we now have to be more practical in our thinking, and practical in the light of the scripture, not of light of our own ideas or maybe someone else, but in the light of the Word of God. And also to see things which are happening through the Word of God. That's why I first part of my presentation would be more of political things and of Ukraine. As you heard, this is Main Square in Kyiv. I'm not going to give you a geography lesson, because you probably all know that Ukraine is the biggest country of Europe in the moment, and I hope it will remain for a long time. Well, we have a neighbor on the east, Russia. It's also located in Europe, but the country itself spread farther east and takes Asia as well. So talking about Europe, Ukraine is the biggest country, very beautiful country, but still very things that are happening, very challenging among. This square, it doesn't look like in the moment, like on the picture, but things that are happening, they started right there. And this is the same square, just to give you an idea of how big it is. The picture was taken in the night. Okay. As you probably know, last year Ukraine was to sign an agreement with European Union about a common market. For years, our government and president, they were telling Ukrainian people how beneficial we are going to be from the from that agreement, how many benefits our country and people are going to get out of that agreement, because we will have more markets where we can sell our goods and have a better life. But for some reason, in the last moment, the president refused to sign the agreement, and I am not going to get into the question why it's happened, but that things caused some protests to start in the Kyiv. And these protests were mainly started by students, students who studied Kyiv in colleges and universities, and everyone knew that such protests won't last long time, because students sooner or later will need to get back to go back to their schools and universities. And all realized that although we would like to get our life better, that's not the time yet. But strangely enough, our rulers think differently. They decided to give a lesson to all nations, especially our former president, to give a lesson that our people were to learn what's going to happen to those who will come on the street with protests. And they decided to suspend protests in very brutal way, which was done in the 30th of November in this main square, and 100 students who were protesting during a few weeks were badly beaten. A few days were badly beaten, and some of them suffered a lot and got into hospitals. Others were able to escape and hide in the Orthodox monastery, which doors were opened by monks but were shut before riot police troops. Next day after that, on that main square, for surprise for our authorities, tens of thousands of people stand together, and they were gathering all week long. And in the last day, by the Sunday, they got in the main square about 1 million protesting. But this time, not because they wanted to join European Union or sign an agreement, but because they were strongly against of what was done to the students. And especially they were against because president he announced that he wasn't responsible for that. He said that it wasn't his intention to do such things. So people were demanding to justice to be done and to punish those who were who did the crime. But instead of punishing them, he told to riot police that as long as he is in presidency, no one they are not going to have any troubles from anyone. And that's made protesters even more anxious with their protests. But from the very beginning, it was made clear that protests will not be a kind of violent form, but peaceful form. It was a decision that was made by not only by politicians, but mainly by people, because people didn't like for our country to get into bloodshed. And they were protesting for several weeks and seeing the reality that leaders weren't going to listen to them. And Ukraine is quite a religious country, especially parts of Western Ukraine. I won't say the same about Eastern and Central Ukraine, but Western part where I am from is very much religious. Majority would consider themselves as a Greek Catholic, or as Catholic would say, Eastern Catholic. Others would be belonging to Ukrainian Orthodox or Russian Orthodox Church. And it is not a rare thing for people to gather on the streets and have some kind of worship and pray. But I have to say that the prayers which are happened to begin in the cave, in the main square there, were different from every prayer I ever seen on the streets. People were praying differently. They were praying not for the sake of religion, but they were praying because their hearts cry, and they were praying to the Lord. Different prayers. Orthodox would pray Lord's Prayer, Protestant would pray from the heart, but they were calling to God to intervene. because they see that the rulers were going to tolerate them long. And in this picture you can see people are kneeling, and that's actually what was happening not just once but over and over again in the main square. Interesting thing might be said that even those who for that time didn't believe in God and never heard any prayer could learn prayers. They heard often Lord's Prayer and they could learn it. They also heard how people were praying from their hearts and they also could learn it. But nevertheless, authorities were very very strict how they were considering the situation. And instead of trying to find peaceful resolution of conflict, where they were bringing more riot police troops into Kiev, and people start to do more acts of peaceful protest. And one man decided to donate piano and just to play in front of riot police. And interesting enough, but that became to be like a movement. We call it revolutionary piano, which happened to be in the many other big cities all over Ukraine. People were bringing piano on the street and playing in front of riot police or just playing in the streets. It was, and again, from the very beginning, it was a kind of peaceful protest and peaceful demanding authorities to hear the voice of the people. But it happened that in the end of December, clashes began to appear. And they weren't so violent as they began to be later on, but this one of the first horrible things which happened. And this picture is quite symbolic. You can see the cross, which was a representation of the from very beginning people wanted to God interfere in this in this case. And I have to say that it wasn't all the demand of traditional, as we call church, Orthodox or Catholic, but all Christians were with the same understanding. We all need to call upon God. Where we all need to call our nation to repentance and to call them to have faith in God. And even when the riot police were trying to suppress the protests, the proclamation of the gospel was made. From very beginning, when main stage was built in the square on the Maidan, beside of that main stage, Christian businessman and pastor of the evangelical church put it a tent, and they called it that tent prayer tent. And in that tent, from very beginning, people were praying, and I will tell you about this later on. But another symbol in this picture, you can see, this is kind of interesting thing, but this is a microphone, and this is just to tell you a little bit more that not only religious leaders were involved in the situation, but also very much was done by journalists in order to provide true picture of protests. And I have to say, they probably there are those who suffer most, because authorities realize as soon as people will learn through picture, they will change their opinion. We got lots of propaganda from our eastern neighbor, and many people in eastern Ukraine were watching it, and they were thinking that these protesters are really against authorities, and they are against of rule of the law. But journalists were used in order to provide true picture. Sometimes riot police beat them first, and after they were going after protesters, and they were broadcasting live from this square from a very very beginning. When a peaceful moment appear, they always appear because negotiation, which was made mainly by not only politicians but also with involvement of Christian leaders. And again, for this moment, all those who claim themselves as Christians were involved in a peaceful negotiation. They were priests, there were pastors, we were trying to stop violence in all possible way. This one of the peaceful moments on the main square, you can see here is the main stage, and here is that prayer tent. This is right beside of this picture. This very picture was taken from prayer tent. This is very interesting place, I would say. I did lots of not just one street evangelism, and I had an experience of giving out gospel literature to people. But the things which are struck me there, that all my experience was different from what I experienced there. I have never seen people who were so eagerly in trying to find the answer of the question, why God is allowed such things happening in Ukraine. Why, what we are to do, how we are to respond, where the truth can be found. People were coming, and if before we were going to people, here they were gathering, they were coming and asking this question. They were also very eager to take a Christian literature, New Testaments and other gospel literature, and this was a place where prayers were made from the very beginning, 24 hours, 7 day a week. Also here, people were able to get some hot drinks served by commissions. And you can see me standing here, and this is the book box, and the gospel is there. And many good talks, many good conversations were made, and I witnessed personally how people were not only interested in things, but actually how they were like dry soil, hunger for water. They are hunger for truth. Also, Christians, as others also, were involved not only in doing some things like prayer, serving tea and other hot drinks, but also providing some medical help to those who need it. And you have to keep in mind that this wasn't just 100 people in the square; it was thousands, sometimes 10,000. During the day, sometimes even 100,000, and they have to spend their night somewhere. For that reason, they occupied places, halls in the state buildings around, and this is Kyiv City Council being built. Although from our eastern neighbor, propaganda was such that on the square there are gathering of vandals and extremists. Actually, people were very concerned to preserve all buildings, all property. And as you can see in this very beautiful hall, no graffiti is made. just Ukrainian flags stick to the wall. But again, as I say, people were very careful not to harm any property. This was during a New Year Eve. Again, lots of people in the square. The worst happened in the, not the worst, but the bad things happened as we finished our Christmas Christmas week, which we had in January, not like you in December, but in January after 20th, our authorities decided to use forces on foot, and they started to shoot people. Was that time was it with Kalashnikovs, but with rubber bullets, and all sometimes even with metal bullets. And here you can see very dramatic picture. Priests trying to stop people from any fight, and the police is targeting protesters. More clashes came to appear, came to happen as next day, and you can see some fire happen, and cars were burning and tires. But I have to say again that cars and buses which were on fire, they were those who used, which used by police and riot police. Tires were burning for the sake to put like a
barrier
or a shield. For the snipers not be able to shoot to the people. I was I wasn't there in that moment, but watching on internet live, I was witnessing very interesting, dramatic picture. This things happening, and this is where you can see these protesters. It's like a big car park, and what's interesting to see, all cars were taken earlier from that place, but for some reason one remained there, and it was a small white Mercedes, obviously brand new car. But when fire appeared, when people started to burn tires, surprisingly, and even shootings were happening at that time, but surprisingly that car didn't suffer. And the journalist commented, it is going to be interesting to see how the fire will get, how that car will get fire. But surprisingly for him, after several hours of protest, they saw a young lady came to that car, opened the door, sit and run away, drive away. So that's just a little to say that people weren't interested to do any harm to private properties, and also they weren't interested to burn buildings. But nevertheless, it happened soon. This is another picture of barricades, and I have to say, although there were lots of people with peaceful demand, peaceful protest, there also were provocateurs. Mainly, they were those who were trying to get people into use the weapons and so on. Worst happened in the end of, in the beginning of February, and that was the day when authorities announced that all who are staying with protesters now would be considered as the extremists and terrorists. And on the previous picture you saw two men, a father and a son, Both of them, they are teachers in the Kyiv Polytechnical Institute. And both of them, in one moment, like many others, became to be extremists and terrorists. But nevertheless, even all the fear which was sweeping from authorities, it didn't stop protesters. They were still staying there and demanding the justice to be done. This is a very symbolical picture again for me. It's very interesting, very, very heartwarming to see protester who is hiding behind the trash containers and the rainbow upon him. And it is not summer. In winter you hardly ever see a rainbow. But this rainbow happened because riot police were shooting with a water gun. And that day temperature was around zero, but earlier temperature was minus 10. And they were still using water gun. People were getting wet, but again, they were able to change clothes because from all around Ukraine, people were trying to help protesters with the things. They were donating lots of goods, lots of warm clothes and food, and just trying to be useful to support protesters. This is a very sad day. In this day, one of the buildings which surrounding the main square was put in fire. Actually, this day the fire was almost killed, but still you can see the fire. That building, it is a trade union house building, trade unions building. And it was very painful when, after being injured during protest, people with severe injuries were taken to hospitals, and police would come to hospital and take them from hospital to court and from court to prison. Even people who were under who were in intensive care departments, they were taken by police to prison. And decision was made not to send people to hospitals, but if it is possible to do necessary help, provide necessary help in this trade union house building. And there was like a hospital organized. But one night, riot police broke the barricade. Here is the barricade, and they during the night they got into the building and put it on fire. But fire was killed. A few days later, bodies of 50 people were found burned alive. And they were those who couldn't help themselves to get outside because of injuries which were done. But again, that didn't stop the protesters. And every time when authorities put more force, they found more protests. Every time when they beat people more people would come to stay with protest. But most terrible happened in 19th of February. And this day they started to shoot people by snipers. Peaceful people, because in that very moment it was like a change. New people came to the square, and those who were staying there had a rest. And those who came, they came without any experience of protests being on the streets. And they just saw how people were falling and dying. All around, and this is very, very painful to watch, because you see people are hiding behind shields which could help them against rubber sticks, but never against snipers or bullets. And this picture was made by Radio Svoboda. It's
radial shelf of Offen.
Свобода, yes, freedom. I believe it's Germany. Snipers and another with Kalashnikov. This lady, she's from Ternopil region, where I'm from, and she was shot in her neck, but thankfully she could manage, her life was saved. She is okay right now. But most people who die, why we are so sure that they were died because of snipers? Because they died injuries, out of injuries in head, neck, or heart, straight into the heart. This is, as I said, because it was too dangerous to get people into hospitals, churches opened the door, and this is one of them which provides some necessary treatment to those who was injured on the street. This is just some, this picture, pictures of some who died on 19th of February on the street. It is now known that 100 people died and more than 300 still missing. We don't know where they are. It looks like we will have more people who died. And this is what remember the first picture you saw? This is how the square looks like now. And again, these kind of things didn't happen when protesters were staying there. Barricade was here, and another barricade was here, and that's it. But when snipers started, when riot police was burning things, after that they left such a disaster. They compare it with the time when Hitler got with their troops into Kiev in 1941. This is very moving picture also. It shows how snipers targeted their targets. They were shooting from the roof of the building here, through the old square. And you remember, on this play, I told you earlier, they had a main stage from which all addresses, main addresses were made. And beside that stage, right here, it was a prayer tent. And even when they were shooting, people were praying there. And thankfully, no one suffered. It was God's hand, and we are very grateful for such. This how that prayer tent looked after in February 19. And that prayer tent is still there, and people still staying in protest, and still prayers are prayed in this tent. Well, that's all from me for political situation. I know there are more things happening and can be said more, but if you would have any question later, I might answer you. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about the ministry I'm involved in my hometown and home church. You probably recognize this picture. This is a lake which we have in Ternopil, which divides city on two parts, and this is during summer. In winter, in this winter, it looked like this. It didn't have a winter as we usually have, and also maybe if we would have a winter like last year, it might be not so good even for things that happen in Ukraine. But Ternopil is a capital of Ternopil region, which is one of the region in western Ukraine, located 170 kilometers from Polish border. It has population 200,000 people, around 200,000 people, mainly very religious, as I say. We have lots of church buildings, mainly Greek Catholic. Also, there are a number of Orthodox churches, but very weak with evangelical witness. As I say, our people are very religious, and these things make very difficult for us to talk to them about God, because they say, if you come to them and say, do you know there is a God, people will agree with you. And if you say, do you know that you are a sinner? Oh yes, I am a sinner. Do you know what you have to do? You have experience. They will say, yes, I have to repent. And I do such things. So I did it last Sunday in front of my priest. And it's quite difficult to talk to them that we are to do such a thing in front of our God. And if our priest would be Lord Jesus, unless our priest would be Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have any hope. So although we are religious, we do in spiritual darkness. This is the church building which we, where our church have our worship, and that building was in use by church 2 years already, but it wasn't finished till last September. It took us some time, and last year around this time decision was made that we will, as a family, we will sell our apartment and put some money towards completion of the building, and we'll build with the rest a small house for our family, which can be suitable for us, because we have a son who is disabled, and we can build the building in such a way that it may have a wheelchair access. So, as I say, by September we were able to finish the church building and move upstairs as a family. And by the end of the year we were able to build a small house for our family. It's not finished yet, but the main work was done, and that was just before we got snow. I hope soon after I get home we will finish with the roof completely to have it done. So it has walls, it has windows, doors, and the roof in a moment. And here is our church and congregation. Maybe Jim can recognize some of us. That was our Thanksgiving Day, which we happened to have last Sunday in the year. And this was like a fellowship meal after this pretty woman. Is Oksana, my wife. She is here. Here is myself. Yeah, okay. Let's move on. Just my address to children in the church. Because of our son, we were able to change our ministry in the way that we want to reach children and parents of children with disabilities and their parents. If God wouldn't give us such a son, I have to be honest, probably I would never ever go to such a ministry. But because of Zechariah, we are able to minister to them. And this is one of the things we have during the year. It's during the summer, we invite children and their brothers and sisters with their parents and have a picnic together. We also have time to share with them the gospel. It took for Oksana and myself quite a long time before parents would allow us to talk openly to them about God, about our relationship with him. Because in our custom, people who have a special need child or person in the family, they are considered as an outcast some way. And if you to talk to them, the first things which they you might experience kind of people are trying to stay keep distance because they are suspicious. Maybe you are going to get them into some kind of sects or some kind of but with us, after 2 years of trying to provide a help in the sense of humanitarian help or just being kind to them, helping their children, in 2 years, one day I remember they asked us to come for their meeting, parents of children with disabilities. They put two seats in front of them. And they said, this is for you and this is for your wife. We sat in front of them and they wanted to ask us a question. The first question that they asked, why God gave us such a child? Are we our most sinners? Why we have this child in our family? And for us it was quite shocking, but we do realize that this question are asked very often in their hearts, because that's what people think. If you have a child or with such a problem, that means that you or someone else in your family has sinned and God is punishing you. But as we start to talk, people realize that this is not so simple. And actually what we did say to them that you have to see things from another angle. Maybe because God wants to say to you something more than you something more. Not because you are a worse sinner. It's not because of this. But because He wants to change you. He wants to influence your heart first. And through your child, maybe not only your heart, but those who are around you. They were very much moved. But again, that was start, that was beginning, and now we are able to have these meetings, and parents come together, have a fellowship, they share with each other what kind of things they are doing, caring for their children, and also for us, the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is, again, same kind of meetings, but that was for Christmas program which we had. Oksana and our friend Natalia and Marichka, a young lady, played for them. It's good to have Natalia with us who is on a wheelchair, but she also plays in the Chernobyl Symphony Orchestra. And parents, when they see her, also get very much encouraged by her own example. She is not evangelical, she is Catholic, but for us it's a good opportunity to share the gospel with her. We are very, she is very open, and we have no hesitation to talk to her openly. She does ask a not comfortable question, but also we are able to tell her straightforward the gospel. And she is listening. Yes, we are singing carols. This is Zechariah and myself. This is another family in our church. Do you remember that?
Probably not. I don't think so.
We didn't have clown at that time. That was only for Christmas, yeah. When we were given presents. Someone said, well, they got lucky. Clown in the family. They don't need to bother to go to sickness anymore. But I have to be very careful. This man, I hope, is going to be an elder in our church soon. Not as a clown. He's actually far from clown character. He's very serious. But we were very blessed last year when they came to help us in the ministry. And also because they got a child with autism, they are also very very understandable in talking to parents. This is Oksana, myself, and Natalia again. This is another group which we have with the young people with disabilities, which came with the help of Polaris Care. Some years ago, when we get some shoe boxes from Lightfoot, and we were able to distribute them among different people, and also among those who have special needs. And this group came to be out of that distribution, and we meet once a while with young people who never before, although they definitely were going to Orthodox or Catholic Church, but never before they had the opportunity to listen the gospel, to listen the Bible story as it is. And now parents will bring them, we'll let them stay with us, we will read the Bible story, we will talk to them, and parents will stay in another room, and we're paying attention, careful what is going on there. And for us, again, if they don't like to join, they may listen to Bible being taught from another room, but maybe God will work in their hearts as well. So that's what we are continuing to do. Unfortunately, in the moment, we are not able to be involved with blind care. And the reason why, because a year ago, our parliament, our prime minister, they came to a decision that Ukraine doesn't need a humanitarian aid anymore. It's really very painful, because in our hospitals there is no mattresses, not talking even about proper mattresses, not talking about beds. And actually, Blindfoot Care provided some beds and mattresses for a hospital in Chernobyl. And they were ready to do even more. But authorities wanted to get out something out of that as well. And they, as we got aid, they asked us to pay a bribe, which we weren't going to pay for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it is not good, God forbid. And the second, because we simply don't have. And we came to them and said, look, this is not what we are selling. This is what is given to those who are in need. On which they responded, okay, if you have goods like clothes and things there, that means that somebody paid money for it, obviously. So if there were money, that means you have money. That's our position. But officially, they said Ukraine doesn't need humanitarian aid anymore. The reason why they did it, there might be several, but that's very sad reality. We just hope and pray that things will change as we got a new ministers and parliament. You know. Okay, that was another ministry which I had very much involved from the church. And this is another ministry where I also have some responsibilities. This is a group of students in mission. They recognize them, in the Chernobyl Missionary Institute, which was established 8 years ago, and with the desire to bring the gospel to former Soviet Union Republic, Islamic Republic. So right now, every year since, we were able to have a group of young people who wanted to do mission, and we were trying to provide some theological education to them. And right now, I am chairing a pastors' committee of that mission. And this group of students who are studying this year and going to have an open day, 10th of May. They will go, most of them will go to different mission fields in different countries. Right now, we have missionaries in India, in Africa, of course in countries of former Soviet Union. Like in this picture, these three young ladies, they are working in Kenya, and they are the one in the middle, she is there for 5 years already, and she was my student also, and I couldn't believe that such a small young lady would be so brave to work in Africa in horrible conditions there. But one who was not very happy for her to go to Africa was her grandfather. He is retired, but all his life he was a pastor in the church, and he just understand how hard it is to work on the mission field. And but soon he was persuaded to let her granddaughter go. And this is another group in Africa, which our missionary institute. This man works with the street children in, I believe, Tajikistan. Tajikistan. Another thing which we do as a family, when we were with Zechariah in the hospital, and we were trying to, we were thinking how we can be, how we can help hospital as a church, but found that it is not always easy for evangelicals to help openly to things like hospital, to places like hospitals or schools. And it's not easy, not because people are against, but because they are trying to be politically correct, as I say. And they have quite a strong Catholic influence. So we decided to do things differently. We started a charity. Our family established a small charity, and through that charity we were saying, okay, this is not a church doing, this is charity, and we welcome people who want to help special needs people, children, to do such things. And we were doing different things, like having some seminars for parents, for medical workers, and this is one of the seminars which we had in children, regional children hospital in Ternopil, and the family here, they are the one who adopted six children with Down syndrome, and they are not Ukrainians, but they. All their children were adopted from Ukraine, and we came to parents just to encourage them. They start to adopt their children when they got their own son who had Down syndrome, and he died. He dies. He lived not long life, but after his death, they wanted to adopt a child. They came to Ukraine. They adopted from Ukraine one. They went to Africa and adopted from Africa. And after they came to Ukraine again and again and again. And here we had them. That was time of seminar for parents and medical workers. And the testimony which they gave just blew up the minds of many. Because again, as I said, people would hide their children who has Down syndrome because they think it's a shame. But they say, it's not a shame, it's a great blessing. And even for medical workers, they were like shocking for their test. It's another meeting which we had for parents through the work of charity. When we were in the hospital and it was intensive care unit with Zechariah, it was springtime, but the weather was still very cold outside. and they had an entrance to the room straight from the straight from outside. Thank you. And the doors there was just very, very bad. It got very cold. The doctor said, okay, it is cold here, and it is intense care. It's cold here, but here it is a heater for you. But heater didn't do work properly because it just dried the air. So after we got out of that hospital, we decided to raise money to charity and to change the door in that unit. And Oksana played with Natalia, and we were selling some things. People were buying things, and all money were donated. Our friends draw some pictures, and also we put them on sale. And we, in that very one evening, we raised enough to change the doors in the intensive care. And when we shared these things with other charities, they were very, very surprised, quite amazed, because they said, well, who donated the most? Who was that businessman? So we didn't have any businessmen among us. We just had simply our friends, who most of them were Christian, and they gave a little, but altogether a lot. And for them it was even a good testament. So that's my last picture in this presentation, and this picture just to encourage you to continue to pray about Ukraine, to remember our country in this difficult time, and remember believers in our country, because really, this for us is not only a time for a big struggle, but also big opportunities. And God will help us to use this time wisely, and many will come to the knowledge of Christ. And maybe through them, these things will spread further in Europe and even here, to your place. Well, thank you very much. If you would have any question, I don't know if now or later you may ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much for lot.
Talking and considering things of which I just shared with you, I like us to turn our attention to place in New Testament, to Gospel of John, and I like to read from that Gospel. I like to read. Actually, I was going to read from chapter 13 a lot, but I think it's time quite running. And I think I would like to share with you just one verse from chapter 14. And this verse will tell a lot in himself. So, Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and he is saying to them following things. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. This is very, very important words which Christ said during the most darkest night earth ever experienced. This was much more darker than we have in Ukraine, we had in the last few months. It was the night when Son of God was betrayed horribly, shamefully, but it was most blessed night for those who followed him. It was very interesting when he was talking to 12 of them about things which will happen very soon. It was last meeting actually which he had with 12, and he realized that his ministry is going to end very soon. and he saw the behavior of his disciples. They were doing silly things. They were trying to find who is the best among them. They were trying to be first. And watching this, he did something that struck their minds. And all of them, they were caught by surprise, but actually unexpected things. No one could ever think that their teacher could do such a thing. They have special work for such a special person for such a thing, but not for the rabbi. He stood, he changed his clothes, he took a towel, poured the water in a basin. And he washed their feet. And they couldn't believe. And they were very, very surprised. But later he started to talk to them and he shocked them by reality of betrayal. They couldn't understand what was going on. But nevertheless, he was talking to them. And what struck me the most, that he was talking to 12 of them. He was loving them, all 12 of them. He knew who is going to betray, but nevertheless, he was talking to him also. And he was talking to him kindly. He was asking him to hear the truth, but his heart was hardened. And he remained in such. When I read this passage, this 13th chapter of Gospel of John, I see that really the Gospel is to preach to all people, without difference. All must hear the good news. And this is the most blessed things that could be even preached or think about. But also from another point, I see sad reality that not all are going to benefit from it. Those who hear and who obey will come to greatest blessing in their life. They actually are going to be blessed, they are going to be happy, and their happiness is going to last even through most dramatic moments in their lives. In most terrible circumstances, they are going to be victorious, although they won't experience good strength and power and strong in their health or whatever. But in their souls, they are going to be on their top. But those who didn't, for them, gospel will bring any good. But those who didn't hear it, who didn't obey it, are going to find horrible judgment very soon. And this was in 13th chapter when Jesus talked about betrayal. And he explained, all of them were wondering who is going to be, who that person is. And they start to ask, maybe it is myself. And the interesting thing that Jesus wasn't quick with the answer. I can feel the tension which was in the air, because John was very careful in his gospel, and it looked like it struck him very deeply, and he is writing in all details. And I can imagine how hard was to them to go through that very silent moment when they heard this news, someone is going to betray, and they were shocked. They couldn't expect such things, because all was so nice, they were secure. They couldn't even imagine that soon things will change into differ. And now they hear these things. And Jesus is not in a hurry to answer straight away. And it's amazing that sometimes it's happened in our life. When difficulties, when troubles come to our life, when lots of questions arise, we puzzled. We don't know how to live. What to do next? And the good thing in such a moment to turn to God. And the good thing is just to pray and ask Him as John did. You remember one of them was so emotional. He was all his life that he couldn't stay the silence, and he told to his friend, to John, ask him who is the betrayer. And John did a simple thing. He just turned his head and asked him. And Jesus answered. And Jesus answered on simple request of John right away. Right away. This is very good encouragement for all of us. When troubles come, not to forget to turn to God and to ask Him simply, but honestly, heart openly, and He will answer. He will answer. He will always answer, because He is here and He is not silent, as one man said. He is answer, but we have to remember that not necessarily always will understand His answer right away. And this is an example which we have in 13th chapter of Gospel of John. He said, he answered to the question about betrayer, but no one could understand. John heard, but he couldn't understand, he couldn't believe. And even when Judah stood up and went, they couldn't believe that the betrayer was Judah. Jesus already answered their request, but they couldn't get it. For the simple reason, because it wasn't right time yet. It wasn't right time yet, but time will come, and they will understand. They will understand, and they will believe. It's very heart moving a moment. And as I say, the darkest night, but most blessed night, most dearest night to Christian soul. As Judah left, betrayer left, 11 remained. And I think their fear went from bad to worse. And what is Christ is doing this very moment? He is preparing them for even more difficult trial. He is preparing their souls, and he is more than good doctor, which is concerned about that his patient will get better. He is concerned not only for his patient to get better, but to be completely healed from his illness. And in order to do in order for such him to happen, things happen, he is doing this very, very important things. It's like I would say in life, you probably remember the church building which you saw in the picture. And when we built that building, we dig it out of soil, up out of ground, all in number 400 shells, military shells. It was another story which I am not going to share with you in the moment, but when we started to build our bungalow, it's on the same plot of land. few years ago, when shells were when we digged out them from the soil, we were told by field engineers that land is secure, there is none left. But last summer, when we started to dig foundation, we decided not to use machinery, but to do it by hand. And we started to do it because we were afraid that something might remain. And we actually find 6 more. But the work was really, really hard, because a foundation needs to be dig for deep as this, half a meter, meter and a half deep. In some places even deeper. But without that work to be done, house couldn't be built. And the same things Jesus is doing in this very moment. He realized, he know that his disciples, although they went already through many difficulties in their life, are going to experience even worse. And he wants them to persevere. And he is laying foundation, which will allow them in future to get through all of these difficulties. And he is telling to us how we are, what we are to do. He's saying, let your hearts not be troubled. Trouble will come, definitely. Troubles will come and hearts with trouble. But on my personal experience, I see that troubles trouble the hearts all the time when faith became weaker. When faith leave in the heart, trouble will come again instead of, and they will shake the heart. They will trouble. And in order to fight it, it can be done. But in order to do it, he's telling us what to do, how to do. He is saying, believe in God. Believe in God. Okay? In Ukraine, many people believe in God. But many people who believe in God are troubled. Because it's obvious that to believe in a God, it is not enough for heart to be comfort. And he is not stopping here. He is telling to those who already believe in God, who already knew that God exists and he is in control. But nevertheless, he is telling to them and saying, you are doing good things, but you are to understand what you are doing. And no one could teach you, no one could explain you, unless you believe in me. This is a very, very important thing. It is not enough just believing God. You have to know, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can reveal you the God in full. And he is the only one who can comfort your heart. I don't know how life will change, but I'm sure the trouble will come. And I know the recipe for my heart. Faith in God, in Christ, his Son. This will comfort my heart. And this will comfort the heart of any sinner, without differences. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior. May this faith comfort our hearts in this evening. Although we witness some horrible, terrible things, but God is in control. And I don't know how the situation is going to be solved, but I know whom I believe. And I know who died for me.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Time's getting on and off, so what I propose we do is that we sing our closing hymn, and maybe I could ask Phil, would you close for us in prayer and say the benediction, and Perhaps some have to get off for various personal reasons, but if you want to stay and ask Volodymyr some questions. Then we can have a question and answer session. But if you've got to go, then please don't let that trouble you. Go. So, hymn number 444 to finish with. Thank you all for coming, and especially to Volodymyr for coming and sharing these things with us. And please be encouraged to pray for Ukraine and for the work, the gospel work in Ukraine in general, and especially so for Volodymyr's work and Oksana's work in Chernobyl. So number 444, lift up your heads, ye gates of brass, ye bars of iron, yield, and let the King of Glory pass. The cross is in the field. Let's stand and sing.